Let's turn in God's Word to Ecclesiastes and chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And this evening, reading verses 1 through 10, hearing essentially what we just sang about death, and that we all die. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, before we read God's Word, let's pray to the Lord. Gracious Father, we're thankful again for Your Word. We're thankful that You're so gracious to teach us Your ways and the ways of our life after the fall, which inevitably leads in our bodies to death. So, Father, teach us Your ways concerning this. And may You bless us and help us turn our eyes above the sun to Your Son, Jesus Christ, especially, trusting that Your Spirit will work in our hearts and that You will guide us and answer our prayers according to Your will. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes 9, beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the Lord. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way. Eat thy bread with joy and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Those are God's words. Again, last chapter we looked at the remedies to the vanities of this world, all that require wisdom from us that we alone attain from the Lord as we look above the sun. And it seems Solomon goes back to looking at the world now, as he continues to do that. And that means looking at the vanities of the world under the sun. And there are so many, and yet some of the same we've heard before. Sometimes we ask then, why do we need to hear it again? Let's just skip over this. Oh no, the Lord would have us hear it again. Because here it is again. Because we've already forgotten, or we will forget, and this needs to be impressed upon our mind and hearts. Solomon, who's been searching for wisdom, he's found vanity upon vanities. All is vanity. And the first vanity this evening that we'll look at, that vanity, that main vanity we've heard time and time and time again, is death. We all die. That's the first point this evening. We all die. It begins verse 1. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. He considered in his own heart all those things we've heard already, laid it up there and laid it up in his heart in order to declare, to prove, to examine, to understand, and then show it forth clearly. To declare what from his heart. To declare what? That the righteous, the wise, and all their works are in the hands of God. You think of the most wise, and we know the wisest man on earth is a Christian. Because it's the fool who says in their heart there is no God. And wisdom alone comes from the Lord. True wisdom, because the Lord is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His wisdom. His wisdom and personified wisdom is Jesus Christ. The wisest men in all the world don't live under their own power, in their own power, and they know that. They are guided by the Lord in His Word according to the Lord's providence. The most righteous, the same, all of our works, beloved, the same in the hand of the Lord. And we have to know that with our minds and believe it in our hearts. We're not operating in our lives by our own power or our own strength. It's the Lord who upholds us and sustains us. It's the breath that we have, every breath, every molecule and atom working in our bodies, all in the Lord's providence, working just right. All those electrical things going on in our brain, all God working them by His providence. What are God's works of providence? The shorter catechism, God's works of providence are His most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all His creatures and all their actions. We're in the hand of the Lord. And if that is true, the most righteous and the most wise of all our works, then how much more we who are less righteous and less wise and in our works, all the more, right? All the more correct that that we are in the hand of the Lord. Ephesians 1, verse 11, we learn what about our Lord? It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined or predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. He says all things, not some things, not most things, not few things, but all things are worked after the counsel of the Lord's own will. And they are all in the hand of God, verse 1. What comfort we can gain from trusting God's Word. We're in the hand of God. And that means all that we do is in submission to His power and His eternal decree. John 3, it says, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. Matthew 28, we know, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. John 5, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So Christ, our Mediator King, sits on the throne, beloved, and all things have been given into His hand, even to judge. He's the King. To be in the hand of God means to be in the hand of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Mediator King. And that's comforting if you're a believer. That's comforting if you love the Lord, because if you are in union with Christ, then you are in the hand of the One who is willing to go and be delivered up by His Father even to the cross for your sins, died there and rose from the dead for you. He loves you with an eternal love, and you're in His hand, in the hand of our Lord. Proverbs 16, verse 9, we've seen this a few times. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Why? Because we're in the hand of the Lord. When we consider our plans and how they often turn out not exactly as we've planned, we know, beloved, that all of our steps are in the hand of our God in Christ. And if we're in the hand of the Lord in Christ, John 5 teaches that we are under His care and protection as a newborn bird under the wings of their mother. And I give unto them, He says in John 5, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. All we do seems to come from us. That's what it seems like. Comes from us and our thoughts, our plans, and what we do. And those works vanish away. But they're always in the hand of God, written in His book, to be rewarded according to whether one be in Christ or not. So then what do we know? Our souls, our persons, our times, our employments, they're all in the hand of God, John 19. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and I have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin. Where we live, the times we live, our habitations, all in the hand of the Lord, Acts 17, and hath made of one blood of all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, or in the hands of God, in every aspect of life, everything beloved by the power and in the hand of our God. And then it says in our passage, verse 1, No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. What happens in your life as we've studied, whether one is rich or poor, a high station, a low station, or poor and prosperous, or struggles? By these outward conditions, we do not know whether one is loved or hated by the Lord. It isn't so that prosperity under the sun is a certain sign of the love of God and an affliction and suffering of God's hatred, even against the health and wealth preachers who preach such. Romans 9, For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth it, was said unto her, The elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. It's not of works, not whether doing good or evil. Outward circumstances do not determine or help man discover the love or hatred of God. The same events happen to the righteous and the unrighteous. That's what we've heard. That's chapter 8, verse 14. All events do not depend upon the counsel of men, but upon the providence of our God. Verse 2. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth, and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. Why can't we look on the outward circumstances? The man born blind in John's Gospel. Why can't we look to him and his family and say they had entered into some great sin, that this was the result? Verse 2, all things come alike to all. This is the reason we cannot judge of love or hatred by outward events. Again, like the last chapter and what we heard, then that even some evil things happen to the righteous and some good things happen to the wicked. We think, but good things are promised to good men and evil things to wicked men. All of those things are in the hand of God, beloved, as we've studied, and aren't necessarily exposed to our eyes or in outward events under the sun. The Lord fulfills His promises, and He will bring it about. Of course, He's promised that evil will befall the wicked, and blessing and good will come upon the righteous. That's His promise, and He will bring it about. He's faithful to His promises. All things come alike to all. At least to our eyes, generally speaking, all things externally. It seems as if that happens in somewhat random, chaotic, due to what some people call, even though falsely call it, luck or fate. Moses died in the wilderness, just like those who complained against the Lord. Of course, he had sinned. But he was much more righteous than the rest of that generation. Josiah died as well as Ahab. Abraham was rich, so was Nabal. Joseph, reading about him in Genesis. Joseph was honored by Pharaoh, but so is Doeg by Saul. It sometimes seems the most wicked has the most outward enjoyment and advantage. Sometimes even more than the righteous. All things come alike to all, though. But everything is in the hand of God. Verse 3, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. What's the most grievous thing that happens in all the earth? If you think of all providence and all under the sun, the same events in life and death equally come not only to the just, but the unjust too. Even those who throughout all their lives give themselves over to the vanities upon vanities and all the excesses of wickedness, he says, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun. It's not an evil with respect to God. All of that which God does is wise and holy and righteous. But he says it's an evil, something so grievous and troublesome under the sun in our eyes that happens to the just and the unjust. They're all exposed to the very same miseries and the greatest grief. This is the worst of evils as considered under the sun. We perceive in our eyes whether you are good or evil, righteous or unrighteous. It's the same. He says, yea, also the hearts of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. This is what man perceives. That there is no difference externally with any of us. Right? You go out there and really, there's not that much difference between the righteous and the wicked. Because all in the end, we die. That's what he's saying. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, and they live in the vanities under the sun, and they die. And the end is of all is madness, is death. The wages of sin is death. The vanity is that all die. You will die. Some of you who are older, as we've said, grasp this now a little bit. You can see it more often in your family, loved ones, older families. Some of your parents have already died or close to death. You know it may be coming soon, even for yourself, maybe in a decade, maybe 2 decades, but you're closer now and you sense it. And that's if you live a full life. If you're around my age, perhaps you understand, you know it's coming, but you sort of don't pay attention very much to it. And if you're in your early 20s or teenagers or children, there is some thought there in your heart that you haven't really considered death at all. That you will die. That it's an actual option. It's not really an option. You ask the question, will I die? Will I die? The answer is yes, you will die. Your body will come under the wage of sin in this life. Your body will die. Your days are numbered. Whether you're a baby, you're going to die someday. Right? You're going to die someday. Your body will die. Your days are numbered. Do you understand, children? Your days are numbered. You will die. Young people, you will die. All die. Learn from the wisdom of Solomon and God's word that declares it to you. All men and women, children die, but there is a death that is spoken of in verse 3 that you do not want to be a part of. This is the death that comes to them that live in their vanities and love their vanities and the things of this earth, and their hearts are full of evil and madness while they live. And they see all men alike die. And so why not just live this life to the full and do whatever we want? And live in all those manner of pleasures and mirth. Because in the end we all die. So let's just live under the sun however we want. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Solomon says. But you still die. Have you considered that you die? not what you get to do in this world, but in this life, but that you die, and what happens then? That's what he's going towards. Solomon here speaks not only of this under the earth experience, but eternity. Those who live in their vanities. On this side of death, the righteous and the wicked, they seem alike. But on the other side of death, there is a vast difference between the righteous and the wicked. The wicked will die forever and ever and ever and ever, where there is eternal punishment, it's described, and eternal destruction is described in the Scriptures, and eternal torments forever and ever and ever. But the righteous, those who look above the sun to Jesus Christ for their salvation, the righteous, though they die, yet shall they live, we know. And live forever, enjoying the eternal pleasures. The eternal pleasures. And eternal life, and eternal joys, and eternal mirth. Eternal all good things. And all pleasurable things. Forever. There is glory. There in glory is his joy forever, even in being glorified. To be in God's presence forevermore, where there is no more pain, no more tears, or bloodshed, or sickness. It's not true for the wicked. There is much more an eternal pain, much more an eternal tears, much more an eternal bloodshed, and much more an eternal sickness. And we could go on with all those things that we do not like that happens to our bodies and in our emotions. But there is glory. There in glory is joy forevermore. And so consider, not just now, under the sun. It seems like the righteous and the wicked all, whether they live the righteous a righteous life or a wicked life, they all, in the end, come to the same thing, death. That's true. But there's a difference to those same people after death. One is an eternity of bliss and blessedness forever in God, in Christ, the righteous who are in Jesus. And the wicked, eternal death and misery, and sadness, and pain forever and ever. So the second point, prefer and enjoy life. Prefer and enjoy life. Verse 4. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. You have the choice, beloved. There's a choice whether you desire eternal life or eternal damnation and punishment. It's one or the other. You can choose life or death. It's either or. You choose. Which will you have? All the living have hope. The dead have no hope. The living dog, it talks about right here, the living dog is better than a dead lion. The dead lion, again, a lion is the most noble of beasts. But if dead can't do anything, can't enjoy anything, can't accomplish anything, but the dog that lives and moves, etc. It gives you that picture of should we enjoy the grandeur and the honor and wealth and prosperity in this life? Or should we seek first His kingdom, look above the sun, and maybe that means enjoying the lesser things, not as great of things, so that we can enjoy an eternity of the most great things, the most blessed things. Just like the all men, without any choice or exemption, if we think of this dog and this lion, without any choice or exemption, must die. All men must die. All men die. And so then how miserable must the condition of those people be who, verse 3, are the madmen full of evil and wickedness and live that way until their death? What's true of them? They die, they're dead. In this life, all people have some hope. Might not be a true hope, but they have some hope. But sinners, when dead, are past hope. No more hope. It's over. And they're in a worse situation than the most wicked who still lives upon the earth who are alive. The dead who lived in wickedness have no hope. It's gone. They're dead and now they face the eternal torments forever and ever. The wicked can have hope in this life, beloved, that they can continue in seeking vanity upon vanity upon vanities, improving their circumstances in this life. And that gives them a sense of hope. Not true hope, but a sense of hope. Hope in the good things of this world. But when death comes, all that hope is gone. Because their world is gone. All their things are gone. All that they worked for is gone. Everything's gone. If you're in your sins and you're apart from Christ and you love the vanities of this world, what do you have then at that time of your death when you die? You have nothing. That's basically the message of Ecclesiastes. And speaking of all peoples and all vanities, that it all leads to death. Here he brings it again to us. And in verse 5, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Every single one of us should know that we all will die, but when you are dead, you don't know anything. You don't have a reward in a coffin, and people forget you. And so repent. Turn to Christ from your sins, lest this be true of you. No hope. No reward. Forgotten. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for we that are in this tabernacle, this body he's talking about, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Choose life forever, beloved. According to my earnest expectation of my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Don't look at this world, but above the sun. There is here required a duty to Christ as well. It says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work, when you die. So there's a duty now. Now you are alive. Now you live. Live for Christ now. Verse 6, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Everything of the wicked when they die, their love, their hatred, envy, it's all gone, it's no more. Everything they love, their pleasure, the vanity upon vanity is all gone to them now. They don't have anything, no portion in anything. Their portion, if anything, is eternal damnation. The judgments of their works. Everything under the sun now gone for them at the moment of death. Is that what you want when you die? Nothing. That everything you had, everything you worked for, all turns to nothing. You have nothing. Verse 7, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. For God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Here Solomon calls all who hear this to turn from their wickedness. Turn from evil, Turn to the Lord to have a real hope and thus live. Live with a merry heart, a good heart, a joyful heart, not in the carnal mirth and pleasures of this world, but rather enjoy God and thereby enjoy our friends and enjoy our families because we enjoy God. Serve God with gladness in what He gives and supplies, our bread. Enjoy it because He gives it. Deuteronomy 26, 14, I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, sadness. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that Thou hast commanded me. He talks about our wine, drink it with a merry heart. God has given it unto us, for God now accepteth thy works, accepts them as perfect in Christ. Enjoy the Lord, the gifts He gives in this life. Don't enjoy the bread or deceit of the wine of violence, but your bread, your wine, the Lord's that He provides. Verse 8, be righteous, clean. Let your garments be always white. Don't reduce your bread just to gain pride. Don't reduce your clothing to destroy modesty, but be clean. Clothe yourself with the righteousness of Christ and live with joy to the Lord, not going around looking like that image that we get when Jesus talks about fasting. Look like you're living and living in the Lord instead of trying to build up pride so you look like you're fasting and you're showing it off to other people. Clothe yourself with the righteousness of Christ. Enjoy in the Lord. And in verse 9, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life and in thy labor, which thou takest under the sun. That is, don't just live life in your own delights, yourself, but care and love your spouse. Share the joys of the Lord with your spouse and keep to your wife, to your husband. Don't run off to the next best thing. Keep to her only. Keep to him only and have nothing to do with another. Live honestly with your spouse. How can a man live joyfully with one with whom he does not live honestly? Proverbs 5, verse 19, love her. It says, let her be as the loving hind in pleasant row. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And yet he uses this language in verse 9. I'll emphasize the points you should consider. He says in verse 9, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun. All the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. In other words, enjoy what the Lord has given under the sun in this life. But be reminded that this life is temporary. This life is perishing. We all die. And the living joyfully all our days is to be understood of this earth, but not without regard to the life to come. Even with our spouse, our wife, our husband, live in light of eternity. That one day, your spouse on this earth, the most important thing should be, outside of the Lord, under the sun, should be your spouse. Should be your husband, should be your wife. But we will die. And then we'll be in eternity where we are not married or given in marriage, as Jesus says. And so live joyfully all your days. But that's here understood as on this earth, under the sun. Not with regard to the life to come. And that which only the righteous can hope in. And that is eternal life with our Lord and Savior forever and ever. Our true spouse. With Him. And in verse 10, it says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. Whither thou goest." That's where we go. Solomon has had us consider the under the sun external comforts of life, food, clothing, marriage, things like that. And verse 10 is a general command. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it freely. Do it cheerfully. Do it with all of your strength. Do it with all of your being. We would add to the glory of God, as we learn elsewhere, 1 Corinthians 10, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." But do it before you descend. I don't just sit here and do nothing. And keep looking to Jesus and do nothing. And don't have any joy in this life of what God gives you and a spouse or anything like that. And there's some people like that who are even in remaining in singleness or cling to poverty or whatever it is. But enjoy what the Lord gives us now. All unto the glory of the Lord. Because in the grave, you will have none of it. All these outward materials, all those outward things, even the wife of your youth, your husband, you will no longer have them. In this life, you have opportunities to do good, to point other people to life forever, to evangelize in our seeking first the kingdom of God and delighting ourselves with the good things of God based in His kind providence to us. Death is coming, so now, today, prefer life and enjoy life. But prefer life and enjoy life unto the Lord. Lest we be like the wicked who prefer and enjoy life to their eternal damnation. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. The choice you have is before you. You can choose a great life, live for all the pleasures and monies and properties and exciting new things in this life, and you will die. And then die for eternity with no hope in this world. Or you can choose to live for the Lord, turn from your sins, love the Lord, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to save you from your sins. And in union with Him and in His righteousness, you can live and enjoy life here and all the good things the Lord provides for His people. It might be some, it might be minuscule, but it might be some. It will be some. You can enjoy them unto His glory, even to exalt in His name and call others to come unto Him. Having hope and then die, and yet live forevermore, and have all the pleasures and all the great things and blessings, even that we read about in the Beatitudes there in Luke chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. We get all of those things in Christ forever and ever. And so you can die forever. That's one option. Or you can live forever. Which do you choose? Which do you choose? Nobody wants to die forever. Who would want that? And so, since you desire to live forever, the only way to live forever, even if you die, to live forever, then you must hate your sin and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And His sacrifice there on the cross for all who come to Him by faith. That He died that eternal death for you, so you could live. So, choose life. Choose Jesus. Look above the sun. Come unto Christ. Plead for Him to save you, lest you die forever. Oh, we don't want to die forever. Plead that He would save you. All those who come to Christ now in this life have a true and lasting hope that never fades away, that will be fulfilled in Christ alone in glory forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, we give You praise. We're thankful. We're thankful for life. Thankful for all that You give us in this life. And we are thankful for the life to come. Pray for a couple of saints this evening who are nearing death or getting closer each year. Again, we pray for Libby, Dave's mom. Ask for her that she would begin eating again after she stopped eating yesterday. And Father, We know that you've numbered her days, and so bring her to the full number and help her to live well as she still lives here, enjoying you. Help her to have clear thought in her mind and heart, that she can still, while she's here, still enjoy you. And help her to die well. Pray the same. Know that Tim's mom was struggling this morning with asthma, and pray that you would give her strength in her lungs. Strengthen her. We pray the same that we prayed for Libby. Even as she's getting older, pray that you would cause her to live well in this life, to love you, to keep loving the gospel, and that you would not fail her. You cause her at the right time to die well when her days are numbered. Uphold these dear older saints and grant to them your love and hope and comfort in Christ as they look above the sun. And Father, help us, even the youngest amongst us this evening, to keep looking to you. And we would not trust the things of this world, the vanities of this world, but know that to all the righteous and the wicked, death comes. And our only hope, true hope, is found in Christ alone, that we will have life forever. And so help us to turn by your Spirit, turn us to Christ, turn us to your Son, cause us to believe the gospel, and so give us that faith, the gift of faith and repentance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.